T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, let's go out to the WadeFord.com hotline, Atlanta's Ford dealer, and we welcome in our buddy Dave Schultz, afternoon host, WNSP in Mobile, Alabama, to get the Crimson Tide angle on today's game at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Schultzy, what's going on, buddy? How you been?
I'm doing well, Nick. How are you?
I think I'm doing a little bit better than Bill O'Brien, and that's where I want to start.
Okay.
You know, it's interesting. I'm not a Bill O'Brien hater by any stretch, and I get it. The guy lost a lot of talent from the offense last year. They're still scoring like 42 a game. But there's something about Bill O'Brien's play calling that kind of befuddles me a little bit. I'm curious. You talk about Alabama. You're in that state. What has been the fan reaction to Bill O'Brien in some games this year?
Well, I think a lot of it started in the Florida game where he wasn't calling some runs, and they either didn't make it or had to settle for field goals. But a lot of his play calling is kind of being hamstrung by that offensive line. The offensive line is just struggling. And, you know, some guys, obviously, you know, you had Landon Dickerson and Deontay Brown, and all these guys went pros. And right now, instead of having like 5 guys that are NFL worthy, you have Evan Neal on the left tackle, who's NFL worthy as of right now. And so, you know, when Bryce Young is just under pressure, you kind of have a, you know, your hands are tied on what you can do offensively, and that's been the problem. And they have not been able to run it nearly as well as they had in the past. You know, I know, you know, he had such a great year, and, you know, I know we had Mac Jones, and Devontae Smith was a Heisman Trophy winner, but, you know, Najee Harris, in less than a full season last year, had like 33 throws were on the ground. And Brian Robinson has 18. He's been really solid. He's just not spectacular. And we don't know if he's playing today. He's got a bad ankle and maybe a bad hamstring. That didn't look good in the Auburn game. You could have a linebacker, DeMoy Kennedy, who is actually, you know, from outside of Mobile, Theodore, who could get some carries. I've seen him run really good, but he's a linebacker. You know, in high school, doing that is one thing, but doing it on the college scene is another. I'm not sure if this is all Bill O'Brien's fault. I think the offensive line has just not improved, and you just don't see that with an Alabama football team where usually right now they're peaking, and 2 out of the 3 last wins have been issues.
You alluded to the running back status of Brian Robinson. If he can't go today, if I read correctly, the only scholarship player at running back would be Trey Sanders. Now, I know he was a highly recruited player. He's been dealing with injuries. But is he developing to the point where he can step in today and do what Brian Robinson does when healthy?
Well, we need to be clear about what you're saying injury-wise. He got injured his freshman year, and then last year during a trip home, he was in a severe car accident. I think him and his brother were coming home from just the gym, and they got T-boned, and I think they've had to reconstruct his entire leg. And so Nick Saban has been talking about him coming back all year long, and somewhere along the way, he wasn't quite getting the carries that he should have been getting. So I don't know if what the struggle was specifically. I don't think he's going to be able to carry the load by himself. He's not ready. I don't think Trey Sanders is ready to carry the ball 25 or 30 times. I do not think that's going to be the case. So it will be interesting to see, you know, who's going to do that otherwise. But he's the first guy up, so we'll see how he does. And again, Brian Robinson had a good year, but they weren't nearly as explosive running the ball as they have been in the past.
Dave Schultz, afternoon host, WNSP Mobile, joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. So I think for Georgia, twofold, be able to run the ball, establish the run, and then also protect Stetson Bennett. And to do so, you got to find a way to block Will Anderson. I mean, this guy has been an absolute monster. I think the best pass rusher in America. I would take him over Aiden Hutchinson. How does Georgia try to block Will Anderson and limit the impact he has in this game?
Well, I think you got to double team him with a tight end or two. I'm not sure they were talking about on my station about chipping him with a running back. I don't think that's going to help too much because I think the Georgia running backs could get run over if they're trying to block Will Anderson. I think you got to run right at him. I think you're going to get some, you know, some Stetson Bennett, you know, draw plays to maybe stop him from a half a step. I think one of the keys to the game, Nick, is that not only does Will Anderson have to play like Will Anderson, and he's been, like you said, he's been a monster defensively and one of the best pass rushers in the nation, he's got to cause a turnover himself. He needs a strip sack. He needs to hit Bennett when he's throwing the ball and maybe Mathis comes down with an interception or Tolotoa comes down with an interception. He needs to create a turnover by himself. That's a lot to ask for a defensive end, but that's one of the ways I think Alabama's gonna need him to do is to create that turnover for, you know, to get that extra possession or slow Georgia down just a little bit. How they block him, I do not know, and it'll be interesting. I watched that game last week, Nick, against Georgia Tech, and I don't know if it was just because it was Georgia Tech and they're looking forward to Alabama, and I was watching it because some of us may have had Georgia, you know, 34.5. They weren't quite as dominant as I would have liked them to have been. As a guy who thought maybe they would get like 8 to 10 yards per carry, they were getting 5 to 6 yards per carry. They only had two explosive plays that I remember, and Brock Bowers is ridiculous. Also, Georgia Tech kind of went up and down the field against them and would have scored some points if Collins kicked some field goals instead of going for it on fourth down. And that may have changed some things, at least aesthetically. So I don't know if Georgia wasn't quite focused, if they'd been looking towards Alabama now for 3 weeks. I would have liked to see, I know it was 45-0, but I would have liked to see Georgia run the ball with a little bit more ease last week, because I don't think it's going to be nearly as easy as it was last week coming this week.
It might not be as sexy as Will Anderson off the edge, but I think it's equally as effective and efficient, and that's Jordan Davis in between the center and guard and what he's able to do for that Georgia front four. How does Alabama go about, because you alluded to, outside of Evan Neal at left tackle, they've had their issues in the trenches. How does Alabama block Jordan Davis?
Well, that's a good question. I this is what I've been asking people all week long, Nick, about this Georgia defensive line, because the teams that have been messing with Alabama offensively the last couple of weeks has been LSU and Auburn, and they've brought the house more times than not. In fact, Auburn fans were complaining, you blitzed them all night long, and then you stopped blitzing, and they went down and scored a touchdown on it. And so LSU, you know, brought the zero blitz, and LSU was bringing, or Auburn was bringing 5 or 6 or 7 guys. And so what does Georgia do? Because Georgia doesn't need to bring more than 4 to get pressure on the quarterback, as they've been doing it all year long. Does that help out Alabama because it's less confusing? Or does Kirby Smart say, we're going to go in Alabama's weakness and we're going to bring 5 or 6 guys because Alabama doesn't know who to block? And so I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how Georgia starts that out and how you block Jordan Davis. I do not know, because that would seem to open up something for somebody else as it has all year long. Obviously, you need to double team, if not triple team, Jordan Davis. So it'll be really interesting. I think it's a different story when you're trying to run at Will Anderson compared to trying to run at Jordan Davis. You're trying to run at Jordan Davis, that's 2 or 3 guys, and then someone else is going to make a play compared to the other way around. I'm going to be very interesting to see if Kirby attacks them, or does he have to attack them because they can get home with 4 guys and have 7 back and, you know, maybe make Bryce Young, you know, thread a needle, which he can do, but it's much more difficult than it is versus a blitz.
All right, Dave, final one for you. I'm curious from the Georgia offensive standpoint, if Stetson Bennett can hit a lot of shots vertically down the field against this Bama secondary. It seems like at least in the first half of the season, Alabama was having some coverage busts, maybe some communication issues on the back end. Is Alabama susceptible to the vertical attack today?
Absolutely. I mean, you said at the beginning of the season, they had it a couple weeks ago against Arkansas. I was doing something else. I was listening to the game, and they're telling me how great a job Alabama's defense is playing. They're like, well, that's 35 points and like 468 yards. That's so great. But it was a handful of plays on the back end. And it is interesting, Nick, because I'm sure you guys heard this, you know, in Georgia, from the beginning of the year, Stetson Bennett can't win the championship game. Well, he doesn't have to do it. They have the defense. So if this game is in the 30s, you know, that's not going to be on Stetson Bennett. That's going to be on the Georgia defense. If Georgia loses this game 14-10, then all right, it's on Stetson Bennett. And the numbers are probably a little bit off because I did this a month ago. But the game started by Bryce Young. Alabama was averaging 43 points a game. And the game started by Stetson Bennett the fourth. It was 42.2 points per game. Not a whole lot different. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, well, Stetson Bennett's too small. Well, I'm pretty sure Bryce Young is listed at like 6'1", 195.
Yeah.
And Stetson Bennett is listed at 5'11", 190. Not a whole lot different. And I even claim that Stetson Bennett is a better athlete, although maybe not quarterback, than Bryce Young.
Yeah.
He's faster.
Yep.
And we got into an argument yesterday. And someone showed us their recruiting. It was like 4'6 to 4'8. So I won that bet.
There you go.
But I think Stetson Bennett can hit some deep. You know, you gotta protect him from Will Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that play action pass. And sometimes you don't need to do it, right? You do the crossing pattern or the slant to Brock Bowers, and, you know, he's looking like Jalen Waddle or Devontae Smith. He's running right through that Georgia Tech defense. Probably a little bit more difficult against Alabama. But, you know, I think that they are susceptible to that. And you don't have to go back to the beginning of the season. You can go back to 2 weeks ago, and they had all kinds of issues against KJ Jefferson and with Burks with Arkansas. So they are susceptible to that, very much so.
Yeah, and Schultz, I think the other thing, too, is, and you alluded to it, Stetson Bennett's more willing to take off and run. I think Bryce Young wants to use his legs to buy time to throw it, whereas Stetson Bennett will use his legs to actually take off and run.
Correct. That is the thing. We have not seen Bryce Young. They certainly don't call any plays for him to run, where we know that's going to be the case with Stetson Bennett. And I think that helps out the pass rush. You know, slows them down just, again, a quarter of a step, a half a step, and that's the difference between being able to follow through and not follow through. That's absolutely the case. I talk with Scott Hunter, the former Alabama quarterback, all the time, and he's always concerned with the guys getting hurt, and he gave me, like, a Colt McCoy scenario. He's like, well, if Bennett runs it and he gets into, like, a Colt McCoy situation like the Rose Bowl, then they're going to be in trouble. I'm like, yes, but that's part of their offense. He runs the football, and then he slides down. So I don't think he's going to get cheap shot or anything like that. But, yes, that is absolutely part of the Georgia game plan. You guys know that. But Alabama, he does not run the football. People have implored him, you know, to make a quicker decision whether he's going to pass or not and then take off and go get the 5 or 6 yards. If he can get 15, great. But, no, that is not part of Alabama's plan or Bryce Young's plan for the most part. He does not run the football unless he absolutely has to.
Dave Schultz, afternoon host, WNSP in Mobile, Alabama. Thank you for the time, Schultz. Safe travels.
I appreciate it, Nick. Thank you, sir.
You got it. Dave Schultz joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline, Atlanta's Ford dealer.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.